It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemare.
And today we are tackling a topic that I'm hoping becomes a theme for the rest of 2020.
I'm actually super excited about today's topic because before we even decided to do this, around my house, I started saying, I'm going to teach little, like, I call them maybe life lessons, you know, but stuff that you should just have ingrained in you that you do on a daily basis and you should not, like, think before you do it. This isn't just like saying please and thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
And basically it comes down to kindness or thoughtfulness, or in my house, because I'm doing the same thing. I'm trying to teach my son before I send him out to onto the world.
Yeah.
I call it, for him, I'm saying be aware.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. And it's just like, especially the world is crazy right now.
Yeah.
And it's not, I hate to be a doomsday person, but I mean, if we're looking at the second half of the year, I think we can all agree that there are going to be issues.
Mm-hmm.
There's an election where a lot of people disagree very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be kids going back to school and some people thinking they should or should not. There's a lot of things like that going to be happening. A lot of disagreements.
Well, I think a lot of changes too, because like I'm trying to explain to my daughter right now, what might be the protocol that the school's doing when we go back may not be it 14 days later.
Exactly.
It's a moving target. So just be prepared.
And great way to say it. And so, yeah, I feel like we need to, the one thing we can remember though, while all this change is taking place and while all these things are happening, is the one thing we have control over is just being kind.
Yeah. And so I think this started when you and I were talking and we were talking about the importance of and how it's not in, it's like it died at our generation, I think, for the most part, is writing personal thank you notes or writing a little, you know, I mean, I sent out, and I think I mentioned it before in a podcast, so many kind of notes throughout this, you know, quarantine. It was just like something I hadn't done in a long time. It was like I never knew where a stamp was, even though I bought 100 at a time. I could not find one when I needed it. Never had people's addresses, or I thought they moved. It just it was like overwhelming to do it. But then I like set up this whole thing. I ordered some special stationery. I bought stamps, put it all in the same spot. And every day I tried to write a couple notes, and always made sure, you know, during this to say thanks for if someone like reached out or did whatever they did. I tried to do that. And I received something totally shocking in the mail, a photo book that my grandfather's nephew put together that I've never met in real life.
Okay.
But he sent it to me. And, I immediately like was like so touched by it because my grandfather's in the book that he made. There's a picture of him in there. And I immediately just sent him a thank you note. And I got a response on, Messenger, Facebook saying, I'm from a different time, and I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate the personal note you sent me. You know, it meant so much. And I was like, oh, my God, see? That he thinks he's from a different time. I think I'm kind of from a different time because I know I get a little – some people say, who cares if you send if you get a thank you note or not? That wasn't what you did the gift for. I understand that. But some acknowledgement or just appreciation of I did receive the gift, because a lot of times you're like, did they get it? Did they even see it? I don't know.
I will tell you why you should do it, because it's an investment in your future. And my husband luckily believes the same way. So we've tried to teach this to our children. And a little sidebar, my brother-in-law drove down yesterday to deliver a desk that my son wanted to use for a project in the basement that they were done using because they're not using it in their house anymore. So we drove down in the rain, and then they had to take it apart to get it down in the basement. And my son was so excited, and my brother-in-law was so patient, like taught him how to take it apart, like just didn't do it for him, but taught him how to do it and put it back together. And then my son was so excited when it was set up. He's like, I need to send them a thank you note. And I was like, oh I know.
That's awesome.
Right. Oh, my God. My work here is done.
Yes,
it's not
great.
Done.
No.
But so a thank you note is an investment in your future. And so I sent out a couple graduation cards this year to just random kids. Like one of them was a neighbor kid. I drove by their house and I saw they had all the balloons and stuff out and I realized, oh, she's not going to get the big graduation. That's kind of sad. So I just dropped a card in the mail to her and forgot about it. And I did that for a couple kids. Mm-hmm. And this one around the corner from me, I got a note on Messenger and it was like, hi, I didn't know how else to get a hold of you. Thank you so much. Your card meant so much to me.
Aww.
Now, if this young lady who just graduated from college comes to me or my husband in the future for a recommendation for a job or anything like that, like I'm going to remember that it's she knows how to be polite and knows how to respond to things and will be more apt to help her in the future.
Yes. Well, this got me thinking to other things that kids should know that maybe we don't just stop and say, you know, this is something you should know.
Yeah.
And so it started with my daughter borrowed my mother-in-law's car and did not return it with the same amount of gas that she took it with. And now I probably had never sat her down saying, hey, if you ever borrow someone's car, I mean, it probably just never came up. Right. So my mother-in-law was not happy about it. Okay, she was like, she used my gas and blah, 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 blah. So I have to always like gingerly step when I tell my kids things because they can, you know, as I'm sure many kids can take it like I'm attacking them. Or so I said, hey, I'm just going to, this is kind of how it started. Just telling you a life lesson forever. Whenever you borrow someone's car, you know, you should always return it with more gas than when you, what you found it with, you know, found the car with, right? Well, of course, there was a loophole with my daughter because there's always an asterisk. So she kept saying, but the car was full. You couldn't possibly put any more gas in it. So we went back and forth three times till finally I realized what she was saying. She couldn't return it more than full. So I said, okay, asterisk here. If you take the car and it's full tank of gas, you return it with a full tank of gas. You were taking it literally. Typically, not everyone has a full tank just sitting in their driveway all the time. But if you take it with a quarter tank of gas, if you're a kid and don't have a lot of money, return it with a half tank. If you're an adult, like my husband and I were talking, you just filled the gas tank up for the person who let you borrow their car. Okay?
Exactly.
So that was like how this whole, you know, thing started at my house. I was like, this is just one little thing. And then I started to say that I know TikTok might be canceled soon or whatever, but I started saying maybe this should be my thing that I put on TikTok, like these little things. Because I also, I don't know if you have this in your house, but if there's something on the staircase, and you're going up, it typically means please take that up the staircase. This is not the new holding place for shoes and boxes of tissues and toilet paper. This is meant to, mom was putting stuff away or dad was putting stuff away and that needs to go upstairs. So anybody, I don't care if you're 7 or you're 70, if you see something on the stairs, you just take it up with you when you go.
If you're the next person up the stairs, definitely.
Yes.
Do that. That is a tough one.
I think that speaks to just teaching your kids from an early age that if you see something that needs to be done, to just do it.
Yes.
And if you can instill that kind of thought process in your children, you're doing a really good job. Because so many people see something and not my problem, out of sight, out of mind. But if you teach them that, like, just normally stuff, I don't care who left that towel on the floor.
Yes.
It's there now. You see it. Pick it up. Do something.
I agree.
Just live your life that way.
And that brings me to my next one, which was just go the extra mile. Okay. So for example, if I say, you know, Costco, you know, the tissue boxes come in like all in the plastic wrap, you know, if you say, and I don't even know who, I mean, this has happened multiple times in my household. This is just an example, but can you take these tissue boxes upstairs? Now, if you live in a house, you know that tissues go into the towel closet, you know, all separate out of the plastic wrap. But no, instead the box lays there with the, you know, never like outside of the door of where they're supposed to go into. And it's like, just go the extra mile. I shouldn't have to say, please take these up and take them out of the box and put them where they go on the shelves. You know what I mean? And like what Remy was saying, just be like, if you see something, just go the extra mile. If you see a towel on the floor, it probably shouldn't be on the floor. So just put it in the hamper.
Okay. I don't know about your kids, but so I had one kid who was always very aware of everything going on around her. And my son was always a very dreamy kid. Mm-hmm. Just like he barely paid attention to, you know what I mean? He was just always living in his head.
Mm-hmm.
So And I will admit, when he was young, I did everything I could to encourage that. I mean, not to, I don't want him to be dreamy, but I didn't want to, I didn't want to take away his imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why the mantra in our house now is be aware. Because he, for the longest time, if he came downstairs and I said, did you take that towel off the, you know, floor in the hall? What towel? Like, it wouldn't even have been on his radar.
Yeah.
So we've made progress. Like, things are more on his radar.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I take partial responsibility in that. But I do think there are some people who are like that, who are just kind of, they live in their own heads and they're kind of oblivious and they might need a little extra training on being aware of their surroundings.
Well, that leads me to another one. Like, I always, like if I'm going, walking in a door, I look behind me to see if there's someone I can hold the door for, right? And sometimes you turn around and you see them and they're at that awkward, like,
yes.
It's kind of far for me to hold the door, but I've already made eye contact, so I guess I should stay here. And then you come across the unaware person or the person who just never taught this. They walk right in. And what I have done multiple times is like a Jim Carrey move where I walk right into the door really hard, or almost like a, you know, what's the guy, Kramer from Seinfeld?
Yeah.
I just act like, and then they turn around like, wait, what happened? And I'm like, oh, the door just slammed on me. Sorry, I wasn't seeing it. Like, I literally do that. And they're like, oh, sorry. But it's like, maybe, you know, no one was ever told. But even at like my age, like in, there will be a time when no longer do I have elders. They're all my age group. But like, especially if I see an older person coming, you know, when I make that, I'm like, I will wait. You know, when it's that middle thing, I'm like, well, I mean, they're like still kind of technically in the parking lot. And there is a long sidewalk. I mean, I've got to go. But typically, I'm always aware before I even open the door. Is there anyone behind me I should be opening this door for? Because I don't want it to just shut, you know? And I'm not sure that I've ever like set my, I mean, I've told my son, like, if we're walking in a restaurant, you open the door for the people you're with, you know, especially, you know, if there's a female there, you make her, let her go first or whatever. But I don't know if I've like literally said, and always look behind you, make sure if there's anyone coming, you hold the door open. I mean, it's just, I don't know if I've ever said that. And I mean, I just, I haven't paid attention to like if they've done it or not, because usually I open the door and just let everyone in, you know, when we go somewhere.
Yeah. And so it is, it's a matter of like saying these things out loud to our children that we somehow just instinctively, not instinctively, that we've learned.
Or maybe our parents said something to us at some point, or I saw something.
Or sometimes you just learn by watching. You,
you
learn by example, you know, like, oh, my dad always held the door open for people.
Yep.
And so like, that's a habit that I picked up and stuff. Or
Very
you learn
true.
How to drive that way. You watch your parents drive. And so that's how you, you know, you're in the car with your parents so much before you get to the age of driving.
That's true.
That if I remember distinctly watching their mannerisms, how they looked, how they drove, how they paid attention to stuff. That's why I think I'm a good driver, because both my parents were.
And that is Remy, our producer, by the way.
Yes, that is Remy, our producer.
I think I might have told you offline one day, someone's like, all of a sudden, when that guy starts talking, I say, is that God? And I'm like, oh, we should probably make sure
we're introducing him.
Yes. Sorry about that.
So, yeah,
hi,
that's
everyone.
Remy, our producer. Also, let's throw this in there, because we always do it at the end of the show, and we realize you might not make it to the end. Something might happen. But we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We'd love to hear topics you think we should discuss, or topics you've discussed with your friends. And you can find all our social media on our website, stacyandlynpodcast.com. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. And it's usually Stacy and Lynn Podcast, or It's Not Just You. So we'd love to hear from you. We have answered a couple of emails.
Yep.
Felt like we were adequate. I didn't hear anything negative back, like, hey, that advice was terrible.
Yes. Yeah. My friend's no longer talking to her friend who was complaining. Oh, well, that's not good.
Well, speaking of advice, I there's this etiquette column. It's kind of a business etiquette column.
Mm-hmm.
There's two. So there's an etiquette column in the New York Times every Sunday that I read. And I was reading it the other day, and it was about especially since wearing a mask is a mandate now in a lot of states, like if you see people without it, The writer was asking, do you have a suggestion for what to say?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to make anybody angry, but it is a mandate and it's for all our health. And so I loved this reply. The etiquette professional actually tested out 3 different scenarios, like, you know, being very polite, pointing out the law, mm-hmm. and something else, and said none of them worked.
Yeah. Was it mind your own business? Was that the
pretty much.
Yeah, that's right. I was already going to say, or just do mine, which
yeah.
is.
I think at this point with the mask debate, everybody knows if it's a mandate. You
yeah.
can't just be like, oh, I didn't know it was a
yeah.
thing at this point. So if somebody is not wearing it, you
oh,
know
yeah.
they're not wearing it for a reason. Almost like some people are out there kind of like goading you to yeah, go ahead and say something to me. I dare
well,
you.
Well, because they can
stuff.
Easily say that they have a pre-existing health condition that prevents them from. That's the one that I
hear. Saw a great thing on that today. There's
oh, good.
A woman who just gave birth with severe asthma
mm-hmm.
and was like, I gave birth the whole time wearing a mask, never had to use my inhaler, never had to take the mask off.
Yeah.
Stop being such a little baby. I'm
yeah.
holding a little baby. And,
yeah,
and
no,
I was
I'm
like,
just saying that if you say to something
good
to someone,
you.
Their easy comeback could just be, I have a health condition you don't know about.
Well,
and
I loved this.
Like,
one of the comebacks
the
reporter got was, because the reporter, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, saw a man in a store who was wearing it around his chin. And he's like, yeah, I got a mask. And the reporter said, yeah, but you're not wearing it. Could you pull it up? And he said, I'm not going to be long. Well,
oh, well, just long enough to infect somebody.
Exactly. So, but again, it's that's under being polite. That's like,
yeah. Well, here's
about other people.
Having been in sales my like entire career there. Here's one I learned very early on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it scarred me. So that's the problem. You don't want to get scarred and embarrassed because then
right.
it sticks with you. But I always thought like I did a pretty good job. And now I never fail to do this. Like if I call someone, I say, oh, hi, this is Lynn Montemayor. Who am I speaking with? Or hi, this is. Well, one time the guy answered the phone and the guy is still out in the same business.
Oh, no.
And oh, yeah, he scarred me twice in my life. And I said, and this was like my first year in sales. I said, oh, hi, who am I speaking with? And he laid into me like, who are you speaking with? Who am I speaking with? You don't call a business up and don't introduce yourself and just say, who are you speaking with? I mean,
didn't you introduce yourself?
No, not that.
Oh,
that was
okay.
My first time.
Okay.
I just said, hi, who am I speaking with?
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm sure I've never told my kids to do that, but that's one that, and I, having been in sales and having managed people, I've always told them that it's also better because people love to hear their name.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's what we call in sales, the gatekeeper, the person that helps you get to the person that you're trying to reach to do the business. And they say, oh, hi, this is Kate. Oh, hi, Kate. And then can I speak? You know, Kate, do you know when they'll be back? And it just automatically sets that relationship up. And you don't need that even just because you're in sales. That's just a life thing. If you're
yeah.
calling the doctor's office, if you're trying to make, you know, whatever kind of appointments, being kind to the person and using their and knowing their name and then, you know, introducing yourself makes conversations much easier.
Okay. You just reminded me of a time I got scarred and I've never done this since.
Yeah. See,
so, I was at a wedding. I was like it was somebody we both knew. So an old boyfriend was coming into town. So he took me as his date, mostly because he was flying in and I think he needed a ride.
Oh,
so
great.
But we both knew the people and it was, you know, it was actually fun. So it's like, you know, we're at this wedding, we're at the reception, we go, it's like lasting. It's the middle of the night. It's like 2 a.m. and we all go to get some food. And there's a huge table of us. I want to say like 15 of us. And they're bringing food out in shifts. And I think I got nachos or something. So I pick up one nacho and take a bite because I'm starving.
Oh.
And somebody at the opposite end of the table said, oh, don't wait for everyone to be served. And I'm like, is this a sit-down dinner? Like, you know what I mean? It's 2 a.m. and we're eating crappy. But it scarred me so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I never did that again. But also at the same time, I was thinking, is this really the situation for that?
We're at a bar. But
yes.
Oh, okay. But yes, it does stick with you.
Oh, yeah.
Another one that scarred me figuratively and literally.
Oh, no.
Is I was out to breakfast and I was in 10th or 11th grade. And I was going out to a sports event for our high school, and like 4 or 5 of us girls were driving together. And I have to say, like, they were friends, but we weren't like close friends. And they were like a year or two older than me. And we were at the eating breakfast before the sporting event. And I reached across the table to get like salt, pepper, ketchup, I don't know. And the girl bit my arm so bad. The part that really hurts, like your under, like that middle part of your underarm, you know, there was a black and blue mark so huge with a bite mark on my arm that when I got, like 2 days later, my mom saw it and said, what is that? And I said, I reached across the table to get something and Marilyn bit me. And she was like, and Marilyn, if you're my friend Marilyn who listens, it's not you. She's actually the one who said, is it God? This is not you, Marilyn. I did not know you in 10th grade. It was a different girl named Marilyn. And bit me so hard, it left such a mark that I can't even barely use utensils at a table now because I'm too scared to pick my arms up
That
near
is
anybody.
Not the correct response.
No, there would be a fight. I mean, if you want to like tap somebody's hand and be like, you know, I'll pass it to you, you know, to try and tell somebody that they're being rude, but to bite them?
Bite.
That's way worse than what you did by reaching across the table.
Oh, but I can tell you,
way worse.
Cannot physically, if you said there's $1 million in the ketchup bottle, just reach across and get it, I'd be like, I can't.
Somebody might bite me.
I literally can't. I'm too scared.
Now, it's interesting that we're talking about things that have scarred us because I did have this, well, I did have this realization. I think I told you this while we were talking one time. I did have this realization a couple of weeks ago about my son because, believe me, I have given both of my children the same advice throughout their lives.
Sure.
And yet they've taken it in differently. They've listened to it differently. They've applied it differently. Sometimes not at all. And I realized that my son is not, things aren't real to him unless he experiences them himself. So my daughter, I could say, okay, don't do this because such and such and such will happen. I could give her a theory and she is able to internalize the theory and understand, okay, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
My son would need to experience that for himself most of the time. Which is a very hard thing as a parent, except you know that that's how people learn and that's how your biggest memories and the biggest things you learn. We just talked about that.
Yes, yes.
So I know he needs to do that. It's so hard to watch.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, they say like they have to make mistakes
exactly.
to learn. Yeah. And I will tell you that if there's one thing I know I taught both my kids.
Yeah.
And they were killing it. Okay, they were doing such a great job with this. And now, everything that's going on in the world, it may have all been for naught.
Oh, no.
They are excellent handshakers.
Oh, they have, I know mine, too.
So, I mean, I have gotten compliments.
Yes.
People have gone out of their way to call me and say, wow, what a handshake your child has. And, you know, it was like, shake the hand, look in the eye.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you do. I mean, I have taught them this. So I have taught other people's kids this since the time they were three. I'm like, shake my hand, squeeze it hard, you know, do all this. And now everyone's like, maybe they're not going to be shaking hands anymore. And I'm thinking the one thing mom had, it was going to be on my tombstone.
Oh my gosh.
And everything. At least she
now
taught.
Teach them how to curtsy and bow.
Yes. Or, you know, is that what they're doing? Or yes.
I don't know.
Elbow thing. People are, I see. I don't know. But it was the one thing I had in my back pocket.
One of my best friends. And I think the reason we initially became best friends is they moved to our school district and our boys befriended each other. And so I was going to meet this new boy when I picked him up from school. So I'm waiting with all the parents and I see my son walk up to a woman I don't know. And he sticks his hand out and shakes her hand. And the look of shock on her, he's in the fifth grade.
Yeah.
And the look of shock on her face. And she still tells the story.
Aww.
She's like about how Bo Lerner walked up to her and said, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Bo Lerner. You know, nice to meet you, Mrs. French. And she was like, what?
Yes.
I know. And it's all for naught. No.
It's all nothing. The one thing I had. The one thing I could really hold my, you know. Say I did do that. They've even brought it up, you know, and they were really good. But looking in the eye, though, they can still do that one right now. Still, that's okay, right?
Yes.
Still looking straight in the eye when they talk. Don't let don't start looking all around. Always look a person in the eye. My mom, that's something I got from my mom because a mailman or a UPS guy or something back in the day came and she was having a conversation with them and he was looking all around. And I was only probably like 12 at the time. And she came in, she goes, if someone doesn't look you in the eye when they're talking to you, don't trust them. And like, it stuck with me always.
Okay.
Yes.
One thing I know I taught both my children and I know will help them through the next period of mask wearing is my children don't mumble.
Yes.
They never have. That's, and that is something you need.
Yes.
In a mask society.
Yep.
So I got one thing going for me.
There you go. Well, you got a lot going for you. Apparently, though, we're going to have to work another podcast on how to unscar ourselves from all this damage that was done earlier in our life.
Right? Yeah. Like how to forgive yourself for not knowing the
rules. I didn't know, but why not be the optimist who says, at least I learned.
Exactly.
I'll just eat my food with no condiments. And everybody knows how much I love my condiments.
Oh, my gosh. One of the funniest things you ever said to me was, I order a bagel just to put the condiments on it. Okay, we'd love to hear what you'd like to discuss. We'd love to hear the lessons you're still working on teaching your children and which ones you think are going to apply in our new mask world. Again, check out our website, stacyandlynnpodcast.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.